We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, as we kick things off, Lance McCullers. Really, when you have a 13.5 game lead, as the Astros do, as they're running away with the West right now, the Lance McCullers part of this thing is a big thing to watch. And Clint, last week he threw live BP, and again today he will throw live BP starting right now. That is scheduled to start at 3 o'clock right at this moment on the mound at Minute Maid. And Clint, this is one of the biggest storylines right now with the Astros, because everything else seems to be managed and we know where they're going to be there. This could be a trade deadline move if the real Lance McCullers is available for them.
Will the real Lance McCullers please stand up, right? I mean, at the end of the day, it's we are in a great spot with Lance McCullers. I was in a spot earlier in the season where it's almost annoying with all these reports of where he's at. And now I'm glad to hear him. I'm glad that they're taking their time. I'm glad that it's looking like Landry Locker is going to be right, and August is going to be the first time that we see Lance McCullers in some real action in the big leagues. It looks like August is going to be the month for that. The fact that we've heard him, you know, I think he's throwing 20. Like, the last I heard was 27 pitches in an outing.
No, that's what he did last week.
Yeah. I mean, A-okay with me, man. Just no reason to push the envelope at all from Lance's perspective or the organization's perspective. And when he comes back, whether he's a starter or. I've had multiple conversations with my crew that you know, is Lance McCullers actually a guy that come back and at least this year he's better used out of the pen as a setup guy or even in closing situations until he gets back fully healthy. You know, there's a lot of different places and different ways that Lance McCullers can help this team, but he's got to be healthy to do any of it.
Yeah, he does. And that's an interesting thing we can get into more depth as the year continues about where is he placed. I think it's interesting to think, boy, where he could land when he comes back. Because I think when I hear this, I feel comfortable to think that Lance, barring some sort of huge setback, is going to pitch again this year. Like there were some points where you started hearing these updates, like he's just now throwing off of flat ground. He's not even on the mound yet.
Right. It's now, getting more real.
Now it's getting more real. You feel like he's going to come back. The interesting thing, not Will, when he comes back to me anymore, is when he comes back, as you said, where is he status-wise? The bullpen could be something that is there, but boy, if you can get Lance to be the starter that you know he was last year, is one of the best in the American League, you want him in the rotation. But it'll be crazy to see. Does he get jumped by both Framber and Christian Javier? That'll be interesting to see down the line. Like Framber, I'm there. We talked about this last week. Christian Javier keeps throwing like this. I mean, there's going to be no choice. Like, you can't hold him back. But it'll be interesting to see where Lance falls, because Christian Javier is coming on.
Yeah.
I mean, strong and trying to force them into decision.
Well, I think the one good thing about where Lance is right now is Lance got his money. We had some conversations earlier about Lance McCullers, and it's, you know, would he be interested in the pen, or would he be interested in potentially being a closer down the stretch here? And, you know, before having a contract, the answer is hell no. I want to prove myself that I'm a starter, and I want to go get that huge money as a starter because you've got that potential. But now that he's got that good money, and he's tied to the Astros for a while here, I don't know that he wouldn't be a little more receptive to coming out of the pen or having a setup or a closer tag to his name.
Well, he is a different mindset than Jake. Like, he has been a for the team guy, more of a help for the team guy, not trying to push like what I want. So yeah. I can see him being a lot more receptive.
For the rest of this season, whenever he does end up coming back and however he feels, I could see there being a route where Lance McCullers helps you in a different way than a starter for this team. Now, again, it depends on how he's feeling and how he's recovering and all that kind of jive, what kind of workload they feel like is necessary for him. But he could be a huge shot in the arm of this team down the stretch after the All-Star break, that's for sure.
Big 3-3, number 2.
Jordan tries one, deep right field. An explosion off his bat sets off the 4th of July celebration. Astros' biggest come-from-behind victory of the season. They win it 7-6, back-to-back days with a walk-off home run.
The big man knows exactly what to do with it. Makes a deposit here in the bottom of the ninth to walk this 4th of July off for the Houston Astros.
That ball was punished. The big man follows Jeremy Pena with walk-off home runs in the span of 24 hours.
All right, there was a lot in that game which ended with Yordan Alvarez, MVP candidate, ending the game yesterday with a blast to center field. As soon as it left his bat, everybody knew that thing was gone as I was there, and everybody just lost it in Minute Maid yesterday. But there was a lot that happened yesterday, Clint. What for you is the number one thing that jumps off the page for you in yesterday's game?
Oh, in yesterday's game? Oh, no doubt about it. It was the walk-off. I mean, there's when you look at the way in which the best hitter in baseball was pitched to for some reason. It was a 3-1 count with three empty bases. And the way that ended, I mean, that's the biggest part of yesterday. For sure. Now, I do think that there's something that, I mean, for you and I, it's always sexy to talk about Alvarez. But really, if you're looking at the Astros right now, it may have been bigger that we saw Seth Martinez come
that
in.
That was big, yeah.
Yeah, come in a situation where, yeah, it was Kansas City. But Kansas City was clearly stroking Odorizzi. As you laid out, they scored, I think they had 9 hits, 5 earned runs, and several balls that were hit. Were struck really, really well, but just hit right at guys. And Seth Martinez came in and gave them, in for this particular game, a critical 3 innings, right? But big picture for the Astros, if Christian Javier is going to be a starter, there's a void in that long relief role, mid-relief role for days like yesterday where the starter's wheels come off. And who's that guy going to be? With Christian Javier starter, there's a void there. Seth Martinez filling in after giving up an Aaron Judge walk-off, yeah. Him coming back and filling in a big way after Odorizzi struggled.
Runs,
yeah, yeah, man, that was
–
and it was impressive. Like, I watch him and it's like, this dude got some stuff now. It's not just a guy that's out there in a good hot streak and he's got a good run going versus a bad baseball team. He appears to have some pretty electric stuff that could play long-term for the Astros. I think that's probably the bigger takeaway to yesterday than – the greatest hitter in baseball walking this thing off, but ain't nothing more fun than watching that now.
Yeah, it was odd in yesterday's game. There was a lot of like October-ish things that could happen. The one you mentioned with Seth Martinez, if somebody struggles early and you need somebody to just keep you in the game.
Yeah.
Like 3 innings, no runs, like stopping the Royals there in the middle, right? That's a big deal. I'm going to tell you for me what jumped out, and it is not Jake Odorizzi's performance. The 8th inning, which I think we're going to see a lot of, teams pitching around Yordan Alvarez as they did in the eighth inning, and they walked him, and then the Astros making them pay. I know it was the Royals, but they pitched around Alvarez, and then they made him pay. Bregman was able to follow up to load the bases with a walk. And then Tucker comes away with the big hit to score two runs. Yuli comes away with the big hit to tie the game. They're going to need to do that in big moments. Teams are not, like, smart teams are going to just put, they're going to start putting him on or pitching around him the way they did. And those guys behind him have to make teams pay for that if they're going to try to take away Yordan Alvarez, which I think teams are going to. So I think that was a big part in yesterday's game.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, the Big 12, according to CBS Sports' Dennis Dodd, are in deep talks with the Pac-12 to bring over six teams from the Pac-12. Those six teams being Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Oregon, Utah, and Washington, Clint. So that's where we are right now. That would run the Big 12 to 16. And they've got a new commissioner, and it looks like the Big 12 is starting to become proactive to try to make something happen instead of just reacting and being the one there left.
Well, the report last week, right, was that Oregon and Washington wanted to join the Big Ten. The Big Ten said, well, pump your brakes. We're waiting on Notre Dame's decision. Well, okay. Well, at that point in time, if the ACC and the Big 12 sit on their hands and don't call Oregon and don't call Utah to be specific, I mean, obviously you can bring as many as you want, but you got to bring those two schools need to be the two teams caliber-wise that you add if you're the Big 12. And I said it last week, I don't know if it's Thursday or Friday, like, what are we waiting on? I can't believe the ACC is going to bust up. I just don't think that's going to happen. But like the Big 12, what the hell are we waiting on? Well, it looks like they weren't sitting on their hands. They made the necessary phone calls. I think this is a like the Big 12 needs to be overly aggressive making this happen. Do whatever they have to do to make this happen. I think it's with Oregon and Utah being out there, really with Oregon being out there, you're getting one of the bigger brands in college football. Utah, you're getting a high caliber program at least, and then it's a natural progression, if you will, in terms of them and the Pac-12 meshing. It's what needs to happen.
Geographically, it's the most
makes sense.
The most, yeah. As close as you can get.
Yep.
I mean, there is still the Washington to West Virginia trip.
West Virginia's got to get out. West Virginia's got to be in the ACC. Like, that's got to change.
Right. Like, I mean, you would hope there's still that trip for those schools, but you can't be left with 16 or down here with 10. You got to make a move.
Well, what you couldn't have done, like, if you're the Big 12, what you can't afford to do is let Washington and Oregon or Oregon and Utah, like, you can't let those go to the Big Ten. And then you can't sit on your hands and wait for the ACC to get in the mix, because they're going to go, even though it's across the world and back, they're going to go there. Like, you've got to be aggressive at this point in time and make an aggressive play. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think...
You're surprised Stanford and Cal's not included?
I am surprised Stanford's not been more in the conversations. But there's, when you look at it, like, the Big 12 just has to make an aggressive play at this point in time, or they're going to be left holding the bag.
And they have that's what has happened to them before. Right. That's why they've let here and they've lost teams like Nebraska, Colorado, and A&M and Missouri, and Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
God Almighty.
And look, if I'm Oregon, like, I'm chomping at the bit for this one, man. I know there's more money in the bigger conferences. Maybe I don't think it's going to be that big of a gap, but maybe there's more money conference wide. In the Big Ten and the SEC, but boy, when I look at it, man, I go Oregon. You come to the Big 12, they're going to have the path of least resistance to a college football playoff.
If I were the Big 12, I would go snooping around even in the Big Ten. Like, I wonder if Nebraska would feel better coming out of the Big Ten. They've never felt like they were in Big Ten. They would come out. They've got some natural rivals with some of those Big 12 schools. And if Colorado's going to be there, which was a game they played every year on Thanksgiving. I go after all of them. Why not, hell? Because I can assure you, whenever it is time for the Big Ten to get to 20, they're going to look in the Big 12 area. They're going to look. They're going to look to try to match teams with those Pac-12 teams, and they should go after Stanford and Cal right now. I mean, to pit with those two other California schools, that would make a lot of sense. All right, a lot has been made about the running backs and the running game for the Texans. But that is not the position that may be the number one position that this team desperately needs. We'll discuss what that is next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, hey, training camp is sneaking up on us, Clint.
July 29th is what I'm looking at the schedule right now. July 29th, Friday, July the 29th, baby. They crank this thing up over at the Houston Methodist Training Center. I'm stoked about it. Practice on the field.
Let's get to work.
Those freaky-ass rookies start arrive the 24th, and the veterans the 26th. And this thing gets going on the 29th. It's getting there close, and we are not too far away. A couple of weeks back is the guys are relaxing and ready to roll. And listen, a lot of this year, Clint, I think you'll agree, will be continuing to build and get this team to a spot where down the line, and maybe that's next year, as John McClain has said on this show, that maybe it is next year where they compete more towards winning and competing for a playoff spot next year. But it is building towards that. And a lot has been made, Clint, of the running back situation, the running game, and that getting that field, and people, maybe Damian Pierce is the answer, and all this. A lot has been made there. But, man, I still can't help, and I know you share the same thing, is they have got to, at some point soon, in the next year or whatever, however they need to, they've got to get somebody on the outside that can change the game for the whole offense, like we see across the league week in and week out.
Yeah, look, I don't know if they do it free agency. I don't know if they do it via trade. I don't know if they do it with the draft. But what happened, I saw a list of the top 10 2023, actually just the top 5 2023 NFL draft wide receivers, and I got to thinking – This is the position group to be discussing when your organization has 4 first-round picks. All right. When you've got four first rounders, we don't need to talk about running backs. Right. I mean, Jonathan Taylor right now is arguably the best running back in the game. You can talk about Nick Chubb. There's a handful of them out there, but Jonathan Taylor was found with the 41st overall pick, I believe, second round for the Colts.
I think right after Ross Blacklock.
Yeah. I mean, so you're talking about you can find a good running back in free agency. You can find a good running back in the second or third round. Hell, you may have found him last year or in this past draft with Damian Pierce out of Florida. Bottom line is when you've got four top, first round draft picks over the next two seasons, and two of those are next year, you've got to start talking about the positions that are going to be drafted, and the players that are going to be drafted that high. And I just think the biggest need offensively for this football team is wide receiver, and I don't think there's a close second. When you talk about you got to make a splash move, and that splash move could help this football team be competitive and ultimately win in the playoffs sooner rather than later. That position is the wide receiver position. You address your run game first and foremost by your offensive line. And if your offensive line is top tier, then you can have one or two, or even like the Cleveland Browns got a great offensive line. They got three good backs, right? Everybody in your stable, everybody in your running back stable will be a productive back if you got the offensive line right. When you look at how teams are attacking defenses in the playoffs now, you better have a stud at wide receiver. That's the biggest need for this football team as they move forward. I know the draft has come and gone, but I don't think they're ready to make a big-time splash move in free agency for this guy this season, but that's the position right there that's going to change the game for this offense.
It would make sense if they did. It would make sense if that's the direction they went. Like I would
in the draft or free agency?
Free agency. Like it would make sense to me if they said, all right, we're going to target a guy that we think is a difference maker. Because they're out there. They move whether they trade or whatever because we know they have the assets. But I totally agree with you that the receiver, the outside receiver, the receiver in some way that's a playmaker.
Yep.
And some that can make life easier for everybody else around there, they just don't have right now. And Brandon Cooks, which many people will throw out or maybe yelling in your car right now or at your desk, and he just doesn't fit the build. And he's 29 years old, right? So we're moving towards a back half, and he just never has been that. He's a strong two, like on a really good team, a strong number two guy. And I think for me, Clint, is we're seeing like it. This is an expectation for me that Nick Caserio achieves, what you're just talking about, because they have every resource to be able to pull it off.
Yep.
Next year, they're going to have a lot of money under the cap. The stuff that's been attached with Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby in terms of not really treating the cap well, with it also moving up, they will have things come off the books where they can spend money. And as you said, they got a boatload of picks, first round, second round. They've got a lot of picks, and they got picks, they got cash. Like this is an expectation because, Clint, we're seeing everybody in the league damn near have it.
Yeah.
Like we're seeing there are a lot of teams that have two. Roll through. So it's not like this is not like quarterback. It is hard to find.
No question.
The top 10 quarterback. It's hard to find Jalen Ramsey, right? We've seen that. Like you hope that the kid out of LSU is that. But it's hard to find those. We're seeing the Dolphins got two. The Vikings got two. I mean, these aren't Super Bowl teams. Like the Steelers got two or three. Like that it is attainable. So that is the expectation
for them. The interesting thing about the wide receiver market is it's kind of like NBA players, right? I mean, these guys become available every year.
Yes.
So when the timing is right, the Texans, assuming they're a place that's sexy to free agents at that point in time, which they're still not there. I'm talking about top tier free agents. They're still not there, but they got a chance to get there. And when they do, they're going to have the money. and wide receivers are going to be available. The beautiful thing about the Texans is that they've got the money in the cap space to make it happen, and they've got the draft capital over the next 2 years to make it happen. My point is just enough about the running backs, enough about the tight ends, enough about the offensive line. There's one position on this football team, assuming that Davis Mills puts together a good year and they continue down that particular path. If they do, which, by the way, that's best case scenario for the Texans fans, I believe, is if Davis Mills just proves to be a starter and a guy that you can win with. Because then you've got a premium pick that you could trade with the one of these quarterbacks. There's about seven of them that people like nowadays. So you don't have to be in the top five to necessarily have a pick that's potentially trade bait. Or you let everybody else take the quarterbacks and one of these receivers falls to you. I just think they're
what happened with the Bengals?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And Jamar Chase is sitting there.
So I think they're in a great place to really capitalize in a big way to fill a big need that I think if they fill it with the right person, if they hit on that particular draft pick or that particular free agent, it's an absolute game changer. One of the draft picks that I really like is, and I've covered him in the SEC and watched him a lot, or not a ton because he hadn't played a ton, but the one I really got my eye on is Kayshon Boutte, the kid out of LSU. I like him. I like him a lot, man. He is a game changer.
They've had a few of them come out of there.
They've had a few of them. Now he's got to come back, bounce back from an injury, there's a lot of ball that we need to see. But he's one of those kids that the ball. He scored 9 touchdowns in 6 games last year. I mean, a kid that's up at A&M right now, Max Johnson. I mean, he was lighting it on fire with when he had Boutte, but he lost him, and then that along with the dysfunction at LSU just was too much for him to handle. But there's going to be some options out there, and I really like the Boutte kid at LSU.
He lost that booty, it caused him to transfer.
I knew you was going to have some
fun.
I'm
sorry, man. I apologize, everybody. Come on, y'all. No, I'm with you on that, man. It's something that's attainable, and that's something that Nick Caserio, I have expectation that he finds. Hell, the Eagles, they got 2 of them. All right, coming back, Zach Greinke, he returns to the mound in Houston. The one thing that is just almost shocking to think as we get Zach Greinke back, he was the opening day starter here last year, and now he comes back with the Royals. The one thing that is pretty amazing between that time frame, that's next.
I liked your voice.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
I love Greinke. I mean, he was a professional guy, knows how to pitch, excellent teammate. Like, I got calls from other organizations that were interested in signing Greinke.
Is that Johnny? That Johnny Dusty Baker?
That was old Johnny.
Oh, Johnny. They look pepped up a little bit for Greinke. You know, Johnny's...
Is that really his middle name? First name?
First name, Johnny. Yeah.
Johnny Dusty.
Johnny. Dusty's a nickname, obviously, I believe. But Johnny Baker.
That doesn't just roll off the tongue. That can't. Dusty's folks had to do better than that.
I don't know. I'm going to see what is his middle name.
Hell, I figured you know. He's calling him Johnny. Johnny ain't it?
Johnny's his first name. Johnny B. Baker, Jr. Johnny
what
B.
Updates with
Johnny
you
B. Dusty.
Johnny B. Baker.
Is his mitt? I don't know what the B stands for.
I think Chandler Rome should probably ask
Hunt
you.
Hunt that down.
I think Chandler Rome should probably hit him with the old Johnny B.
It
his
could
next
just
question.
Be B show. My father-in-law.
According to
middle
the,
name is just B. It's just a letter.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
It can be just a letter.
That's interesting. Baker grew up in Riverside, California. This according to Wikipedia. As the oldest of five, he earned the nickname Dusty from his mother because he had a propensity for playing in a dirt spot in the backyard.
You know what I mean?
So that just stays?
No, I love it. I think I love good stories like that. Did you guys play in dirt spots in your yard?
I'm sure I did.
You don't remember? Tyler, did you?
Yeah. Roll around in the mud, the dirt a little bit.
I mean, you didn't have like a specific spot in the yard where you and your brother got off in the dirt or the mud or anything like that?
Yeah, we had some spots because we made a little motocross track and we'd go dig around in the dirt. Yeah.
But is that
He just very casually dropped that he had motocross bikes growing up.
We found out that
big money guy. Big money. Can't hide that maroon money, bud.
Yeah, we found out he was out a lot. I mean, when he told us his first car was
a Hummer.
A 2008 a yellow Hummer.
Brand new.
2008
second car.
I'm sorry.
New body style.
You got two cars in high school?
The Hummer was a graduation gift.
Okay. So did you drive the Hummer to high school at all?
Yes.
So you got it before for graduation?
T, you eased up to College Station in a yellow Hummer?
No, whenever I got ready to go off, I gave the Hummer to my little brother who was getting into high school, and I was more of a pickup guy. I wanted a
So pickup. Three cars by the time he went to college.
I had me a Rawlings Edition F-150.
Three rigs, man, by the time he went to college.
Who hooked you up with that?
My dad had found it, and then whenever they started thinking about my brother driving, they were like, yeah, we'll let him take the Hummer, and you take this Rawlings Edition F-150. It was sick, bro.
So did you give him that Hummer, or did that? Well, I mean, you started it off with
he upgraded, and little brother said, got the hand-me-down.
Yeah, I was going to say, he gave the hand-me-down Hummer.
Like you presented that like you had done him a favor or something.
Well, it had less miles, the Hummer did. It was in better shape. But I was in love with that Rawlings, man. The interior was all leather, like baseball gloves, yeah. The stitching for Rawlings. It was sick.
2008.
Baseball bat, wood grain, like on the steering wheel and on
God
the
bless you.
Dash.
Unbelievable, man.
I try to think of how old I was when I got a vehicle that was made after 2008.
I can't believe you guys didn't. Like we had a dirt area as big as this table, probably, I don't know, 10 feet wide, 10 feet long, about 10 feet wide, long by about, I don't know, 7-8 feet wide on one side of the house that we had Hot Wheel tracks in. Did y'all play with Hot Wheels growing up?
Yeah, sometimes.
Me and my brother played at the Hot Wheels. We had a Hot Wheel track. We didn't have motocross. We didn't have motorcycles. We had Hot Wheels. So we had to build a Hot Wheel track that we pushed it around on one side of the house. And then the other side of the house was when it rained, it was our hot box area. You know, hot box. I'm not talking about farting and sticking your head under the covers.
That's not what I was thinking.
What were you thinking?
Singing. Whenever I hear hot box, I think of Mary Jane.
Oh, you're hot boxing, smoking. No, that's not what I'm talking about either. I'm talking about where you got two bases and you play, like, you got one guy on each base and one with a glove, and then you're throwing back and forth and you got to get the guy in the middle.
Yeah, hot box.
Yeah, we called that hot box. We didn't hot box.
Talking about weed or?
No, we weren't talking about that kind of stuff. We weren't driving motorcycles and hot boxing weed when we were growing up.
Good God.
But
man.
we had on each side, we had a little, basically, a dirt hole on each side that we used.
Yeah, but that's not how you got Dirty Red as a nickname.
No. That's how he got Dusty, though.
That's how he got Dusty. But I'm just saying, like we played it turned into his name.
That's what happens when mama gives it to you. That's what
it
happens.
It turned into his name. Just like straight up, man, drop that Johnny or whatever that B stands for. Your name's just gonna be Dusty now. And that's what he's rolling with.
What happened to Hot Wheels? Why are Hot Wheels not a thing anymore? Or are they and I'm missing it?
I don't know, man, because I love them, too.
I've never bought
I had shoeboxes full of those things.
Our kids.
Did you have them when you were young?
I had Hot Wheels. Like, my dad was serious about making me build a track. Actually, my dad bought Lil Showa early in the game. Maybe he was like two or three.
Yeah?
Bought him a track. That thing, he never touched it.
I'll be damned. I got several little cousins, little nephews that younger.
They don't play with them.
They ain't got a one Hot Wheel that I've seen. Most of them are AC babies, so it's hard to play Hot Wheels in the house unless you got a track. So hard to play Hot Wheels. You got a remote control to a video game in your hand. But
yeah, I was gonna say that the video game thing probably took over it.
Man,
playing it on the game.
Those are the good old days, man.
Good old days, right there. Ooh. How about the good old days of Zach Greinke? He's back on the mound, baby. Excited?
I'm stoked about it, man.
Are you? Are you?
Greinke, hadn't really seen Greinke.
Listen, I think to me the interesting thing about Greinke coming back is how far the pitching staff has come, especially the rotation, how far they have come to when Zach was here to where he is now. Just think about this. Last year, Zach was the opening day starter. You and I, Clint and Show, we would have debates and conversations on who the number one starter was. And I think most people would say, was agreeing with you in terms of Greinke. I held on to Framber for a long time till he just stopped. But he was the opening day starter. I believe he was the opening day starter 2 years in a row. And he was the top guy, probably the guy that most Astros fans had the most confidence in. And now, Clint, Tyler, seriously, where would Greinke rank in this rotation right now?
Oof.
Sixth?
Maybe slightly ahead of Odorizzi.
Sixth?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not over Verlander, obviously.
Oh, no.
He's not over Framber. He's not over Christian Javier right now. Hell no.
I don't think he's over Luis.
His fastball's Christian's changeup. He's not Garcia. And the way Arcidi's pitching, like 065, I don't think you would take Greinke even with, you know, his veteran presence, his ability to pitch and just find ways to get out. I still don't think you're taking him.
No, I agree.
He's like
with
sixth.
That.
He was the opening day starter last year. Now he'd be their sixth starter.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. You are correct. I mean, they've had some youngsters. I mean, obviously Verlander's returned and some youngsters have stepped up in a major, major way. Because I was higher on Greinke late in the season last year than most as well. I would have preferred him being on the bump more so than the young ones that the wheels were coming off of at times. So,
but yeah, definitely the first half, you were like, that's the guy I feel most comfortable giving the ball to.
Yeah, I was probably a little more excited about McCullers, but Greinke was the one you felt more comfortable with probably, with McCullers coming off the injury.
Yeah, and McCullers coming off the injury. But, yeah, that is the part now. I mean, this is crazy. They got two Cy Young candidates because we got to get that around our head. Framber Valdez is in the Cy Young conversation with what he's doing right now. Right? You go start to look at his numbers up against Verlander's. They're not that far off. So you got two guys there in that conversation. And then, as you said, these young guys who have answered the call in a major way that Zach Greinke is in this space. By the way, the lineup is out that's going to face Greinke. And Alvarez is back in the field again.
He's fine.
Good storytelling skills.
He's back in the field again, back in left field, batting third. And Yuli is getting a half a day off. He's DHing today as Diaz is playing first base. But the big story is they're going to run Yordan back out there to left field again. And let's hope we got good communication between him and Jeremy Pena. I will admit right now I'm shook. Have any problems? I'm good. I'm good. Let's just make sure we have any problems here.
Yeah, they'll do a better job of calling. I imagine there's been an emphasis put on shallow pop flies being called consistently and loudly, especially between those two right
just
there.
Just let it drop, guys. Just let it, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out down the stretch.
13.5-game lead. If it's close, y'all just move out the way.
Yeah, well, that's. I'm interested to see.
I wonder who was in the wrong. Generally, that it is.
Pena said he was.
Okay, but generally it is the outfielder who's running in that calls it off. But
well, Dusty said the Jets and the planes are loud, and so it makes it hard to hear. He did.
I know he did.
He really did say that.
Look at Show's face.
I mean, he said it was very loud because the planes flying over the stadium or the ballpark.
Dusty goes out of his way. In ways that are just comical.
Yeah. Read my face.
To not take.
I mean, he'll make you go back and watch the game again and see if you could hear a plane flying over. I mean,
did you do that?
No, I didn't.
I was going to say.
Oh, I should have. I didn't hear him say that until I got here, to be completely honest with you. But I damn sure should have.
But yeah, generally is the outfielder. So hopefully they, as you said, there's probably been some work and some conversations there and some emphasis held there. But Altuve, Pena, Alvarez playing in left field, Bregman, Tucker, Yuli, Diaz, and Jake Myers, and then Maldonado catching. That is the nine for today in today's game. All right, Clint, real quick, some things from Lance McCullers. As we said, 3 o'clock, he was going to have another live BP session. This was McCullers talking about how he felt after throwing today again.
Threw six sliders, six curveballs, a couple cutters, good amount of changeups, and a good amount of opposite heaters. Feel really good. I mean, velo's pretty much stagnant at this point. It's like 93. It's like 91, 93 today. But, you know, I don't think that's going to change much until games. The off-speed is really crisp. The slider, curveball, changeup are all really crisp. So at this point, you know, we're maybe think about starting to do some up-downs and then think about a couple more of these, doing some up-downs, and then maybe get out for a rehab.
Maybe get out for a rehab. My man is out here. There we go. Like I told you, Lance will make you feel like he's right around the corner.
July 5. But, you know, a couple more of these with some up-downs. I'm guessing what he's saying is he's going to pitch and then sit like it's an inning, get up.
How much time does that span the way he said? Because he said up-downs a couple of times. And then maybe go out for a rehab.
I'd say 3 weeks. I'd say 3 weeks. I mean,
Is he on a rehab start by August 1st?
I think it's early August when he's his first rehab start. Well, we got to be up against it though here. I mean, All-Star breaks in hell, it's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up. As you said, it's July 5th. God, does that so rehab start? You think he's here mid August?
Yeah, I think it's August. That's after the All-Star break. So yeah, I think it's August. I think it's mid August. I think it's early August. I'll go early August.
Early August. All right. So maybe the rehab's in 2 weeks. Early August, he's ready to go. And apparently, to you, a packed house will be there.
Oh, I think it'll be bumping. No question.
Yeah, hell.
I mean, what, you not?
Well, hell, after I watched yesterday, they all came out to go watch Jake Odorizzi play against the damn Royals, so I'm guessing they might pack the
No, I think there'll be a lot of hype around Lance McCullers when he
Oh, yeah, it'll be hype. It'll be big here, yeah.
I mean, I don't know where they're going to slate him in and how they're going to do that, but if it is a start, if he is in the starting rotation, hell, the conversation leading up to it, if it's not announced day of, hell, the conversations leading up to it are going to be huge. And, yeah, I think the place will be rocking if he's starting.
Someone on the text line, you're making fun about Dusty for bringing up airplane noises. Dusty's the third manager this year that has stayed at that case.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, yeah. Sure. That's fine.
That's fine.
I didn't say he was lying.
I'm just saying Dusty has it. Dusty has
Oh, a, you were, okay.
I'm saying Dusty has a history of coming up with really, come on, excuses for his players sometimes.
They didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
I mean, it's just interesting that, I mean, like, that's, I mean.
That's just every pop-up. Like, I mean, I'm telling you what, you talk about a home field advantage that the Mets potentially have, that on pop flies that no one could communicate out there because of airplanes.
Right,
and that is a hell of an advantage. Like, if it was so bad, I'd imagine. Like that something would potentially have to be done here.
Well, you are not living right. You've got some serious bad luck going on if there's a plane flying over when Pena and Alvarez just happen to be running together in shallow left field. Nobody, I mean that is some bad ass luck right there now.
Nobody can hear it. Maybe it's the case. I've not been to Citi Field. I want to go there and just sit there. Boy, I tell you what, man. Boy, these Southwest Airlines that are flying over the hell of this thing, boy, this thing is it is killing them. It is loud out here. All right, Lance did also bring this up, talking about where he feels he is right now in terms of his health and in terms of his stuff. He talks about that.
I mean, I would consider myself healthy. So, I mean, I am, you know, I mean, I'm at this point, it's just about doing what the, you know, Astros and training staff, you know, what they want to see, how many times they want to see it before, you know, we start talking about getting out for a rehab game. So I don't think it's really a question of, it's more of a question of how many more of these we want, how many up downs do we want. I mean, the stuff is ready to roll. I just need to, you know, build some volume. I got a little tired toward the end. I threw like 32 today, so probably ready to move into an up down situation. So I'm not throwing too many pitches in one big grouping.
I'm not even being a jackass when I ask you this. Does that make you feel better when Lance says he feels he's healthy?
No. No, it doesn't. Look,
that's not what I thought.
I mean, I think you throw 32 pitches. I mean, it's like I would hope that he would feel healthy at this point in time. The scary part with Lance is he didn't have surgery. The scary part with Lance is when he gets back out there and starts putting that freakish torque on his arm, or you know, runs the pitch count up above 50, what's going to happen? That's the scary part with Lance is does it
you don't know until you get out there and do
well, nothing's been repaired and nothing's been repaired where you have like several different pitchers that have gone through the same rehab, felt these same things, and it's part of the process. I mean, part of what Lance went through last year, the tough part was nobody knew whether they should throw him back out there or not, you know, and that's how he ended up getting hurt. So it's, I don't know, for me, the concern with Lance is this is not a surgery that, hey, here's the textbook on how to kind of manage your way back to being available. It was a little bit of a different injury and just rest at this point in time. So, Lance, I'm sure, feels great.
He said he considers himself healthy.
Yeah. I mean,
just ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, 32 pitches. I don't know. I'm looking at early August. We got a month to go.
And then even in early August, you're not 100%.
And then, well, once he gets back, if it is in the starting rotation, I'd imagine he's on a heavy pitch count.
Yeah, we'll see. So Lance considers himself healthy, and he is ready to go. Just iron out some small things here as we'll see where this continues. Coming up, Clint Sterner's football at 4. There are six teams potentially on the move, and guess which conference is stepping up to try to save themselves. We'll let you hear what that is coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.